Tibetans are about halfway through their celebration of Losar, the Tibetan New Year. Among the voices providing the soundtrack to the celebration is Annie Choying Drolma. Listening to her sing the ancient songs of Tibetan Buddhism is like drinking a strong cup of peppermint tea. Her music cleanses the mind, fortifies the spirit. For more than a decade, this most unlikely of rock stars has shared Buddhism's sacred chants with a growing number of fans worldwide. But she found this path almost by accident. Megan Drennan-Moline has more about the woman who wasn't always such a saint.
Annie Choying Drolma can't remember when she started singing, but her formal training began at 13 when she joined the Nagyi Gompa Monastery near Kathmandu. Soon after her arrival, the Rinpoche, or head lama, saw her talent. He and his wife began teaching her sacred chants, following a tradition that has been passed down from teacher to student for generations in the Himalayas.
They often made me sing in whatever occasion that took place. I used to be entertainer for everyone, but somehow my teacher and his wife both were really, really enthusiastic about my singing. So those days I just used to enjoy it, but without having any ideas of or thoughts about what they're up to. But now I really, really see it clearly. That they really knew it, you know, what my future was.
So far, she has recorded 10 albums, including her latest, Inner Peace 2. While some monks have made it big with their chanting, few, if any, nuns have. Annie's music combines Tibetan melodies with traditional and contemporary instruments, like singing bowls and synthesizers. Her voice may sound like a mountain stream, but underneath, her passions are like a storm on top of Everest. Her vocal power comes from a complicated mixture of devotion, confidence, and anger. She confesses that she didn't become a nun out of faith, but rather to escape from her father, who beat her almost every day.
At the very beginning stage of my entering and my time at the monastery was, I was still very wild. And a lot of negativity was in my heart, in my mind. So I was always ready to protect myself. And that means the first thing that comes out in my mind is to be angry or to fight. But that slowly, slowly, slowly transformed. And my teacher's blessing, his love, his kindness was so, so healing. And once when my mother visited, my mother asked him, so how is she doing? This monk said to my mom, oh, Amala. Amala means mother, you know. She is now like a bodhisattva. Before she was like a devil.
Annie's journey to the world stage started in 1994 when musician Steve Tibbetts first heard her sing. Amazed by her voice, he taped her and sent the recording to Joe Boyd, music producer of groups like Pink Floyd. Boyd gave her a thumbs up, and Tibbetts returned to Nepal in 1997 to collaborate on their first album together. A year later, he brought Annie and two other nuns to the U.S. Their first concert at the Iron Horse Saloon in Amherst, Massachusetts, had its share of technical difficulties.
The nuns, the Annies, were not used to monitor speakers, lights, or people watching them. For the first show, a lot of our songs started with the band playing and ended with the nuns singing solo. I guess, personally, I thought it was not exactly a disaster, but difficult. The crowd didn't think so. They formed a human scrum around Choying after the show.
That scrum has grown larger ever since. Now, Annie tours 6 months a year in countries like Brazil, China, Singapore, Russia, and France. But it wasn't always a love fest. When she began singing these songs publicly, other Buddhists criticized her a lot. So she turned to her teacher, the meditation master, Tulku Urgen, for his advice.
I asked him with the motive that if he says it's not good to do it, then I wouldn't have done it. But then he was so positive, and he said, well, these are all great, powerful, beneficial spiritual songs. It doesn't matter whoever, whether they are believers or non-believers, whoever gets to hear it, they will be benefited. So it's a good idea, he said. And that was very strong enough for me in my heart to go forward.
When Annie Choing was a teenager, foreigners often visited the Nagi Gompa Monastery to study with her famous teacher. They gave her the nickname Annie Chewing Gum, taught her some English, and introduced her to the blues.
Long ago, when very, very first time when I had a tape recorder, and I wanted to have some Western music to listen to, I only could buy Hindi songs or Nepali songs, but no Western songs. So I asked someone, a Western disciple of my teacher, can you help me to get Western music? And that person gave me a Bonnie Raitt cassette.
Years later, after performing in San Francisco, Annie saw a red-headed woman approaching her.
And then when I saw this lady coming to me, I said, like, oh my God. And she walked up to me and said, hi, my name is Bonnie Raitt, and I'm one of your greatest fans. And I said, are you kidding? Actually, I'm your fan. And she was quite surprised to know that I knew her. And she called her friends, the bands, and said, hey guys, listen to this. Isn't it great? She knows me.
In Kathmandu, everyone knows Annie Choing Drolma. When she is in town, it is nearly impossible to see her. She supports more than a dozen charities through her Nuns Welfare Foundation. She's building a new kidney hospital, and she runs a boarding school for girls. Judith Amsis, an old friend, believes Annie has helped to bring nuns out of the shadows.
She's a very visible nun, and maybe she's making other nuns visible too. I mean, even the fact that for many years she's driven her own car. I mean, when she started driving around, there weren't even that many women driving, let alone that, you know, nuns driving. So she's not afraid at all to break convention.
Annie La, as her junior nuns call her, makes it a point to break convention. She sees her music and its profits as a vehicle to make opportunities for women and girls. In 2000, she founded the Aryatara School, the first school in Nepal to offer both Western and traditional Tibetan studies to nuns. Nuns like Choying Sambo, who graduated 2 years ago. She wears pink high tops, and her cell phone looks like a pocket-sized shrine to teen heartthrob Justin Bieber. She manages Annie La's Facebook page, juggles her tour schedule, and keeps an eye on the school, which is now home to 70 girls who range in age from 7 to 23.
They all have their own stories. They all have some kind of difficulties. Some were forced to marry in a young age, and some were attacked by Maoists, and some were, like, they came from Tibet and there were no place to stay here.
Annie Choing Drolma believes anyone can benefit from listening to her music. You don't need to understand Tibetan. Find a quiet place, close your eyes, and use headphones to feel the full effect of her positive vibrations. For NPR News, this is Megan Drennan-Maline in Kathmandu, Nepal.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Leanne Hansen.